Good morning. I'm Bill Zortman, and welcome to It's Your Business. Today, show number 460. During the month of October, each Wednesday, we'll provide information for individuals, for businesses, big and small, in a way that deals for what is being called the Affordable Care Act, what you should know and what you should be asking. Obamacare is news in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Minnesota, and Nebraska. And where I'm at today on a special anniversary trip with my wife of 45 years in the Great Smoky Mountains of Tennessee. Jody Schwan, editor of the Sioux Falls Business Journal, is going to host our guest in our studios this morning. And if they prefer, they'll be taking some questions. But remember, if there are questions, our screener will be Mark Brown, the gatekeeper for the Greg Belford Show. Questions that will be announced, whether they will take them this morning or we'll start taking them next week in weeks 2, 3, 4, and 5, have to be on health insurance, not political. Obviously, there are plenty of avenues for the political side of this, but even the pundits say they want health care providers and insurance companies to explain to the public in their communities what they should know. Jody, thanks for being a part of the discussion. Would you please introduce our panel for our show today and set the rules?
I will. Have a good rest of your trip. Thanks for that, Bill.
Thanks, Jody.
As Bill mentioned, we've got a great panel of guests this morning. Thanks for being with us. Four of them representing different elements of both the healthcare industry, the insurance industry, and business as well. I am going to let them each say a little bit about themselves, starting to my right, which is Lisa Carlson, Sanford Health Plan. Lisa?
Good morning, Jody. Thanks for having me here today. My name is Lisa Carlson, and I'm from Sanford Health Plan here in Sioux Falls. My responsibilities there include making sure that our health plan is compliant with all the new provisions of the Affordable Care Act. We've developed a variety of new product lines for individuals and small businesses and options for them to also be compliant with the Affordable Care Act starting in January of 2014.
We'll move on now to your counterpart over on the Avera side, Becky Olson with Avera Health Plan.
Thank you, Jody. My name is Becky Olson. I'm from Avera Health Plans. We're located in Sioux Falls as well. And like Lisa mentioned, we have been on the Avera side working hard to create the plans that are compliant with the Affordable Care Act as well, and are excited to offer those products to consumers starting 1-1 of 2014.
All right, businesses now. Listen up, Abby Vanderworth with Howalt McDowell. She's had a little bit of experience working with businesses, haven't you?
Yes, I have. Thank you, Jody. I work with Howalt McDowell Insurance, and really my focus has been on compliance, but also leading employers through the myriad of changes that we've seen because of the Affordable Care Act, and helping them to understand not only what the carriers are bringing to the table, but also what their responsibilities are as an employer.
All right, and we're going to wrap up here with a regular on It's Your Business, Marvin Smoot of Plastic Surgery Associates. For those who don't know you, Marvin, good morning.
Good morning.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about what your experience has been? Because you bring a different perspective, I think, to our discussion today, both the business perspective and the healthcare side of things.
Well, for us, the Affordable Care Act is kind of twofold, because we're looking at how it may impact us from a healthcare side and what we can provide to our patients, but also as employers and a small employer, we're looking at the cost, kind of doing the cost benefit analysis of providing continual coverage for our staff. We have always been a provider of healthcare coverage for our staff, but it just brings together a different element when you look at the changes that we're going to have here.
Yeah, absolutely. A process I think that a lot of businesses have gone through and probably will continue to go through. I want to remind our listeners of the phone number to call in if you do have questions. Give us a call, 336-1320, and we've got a great panel of experts here who will do their best to answer them. I think for people who might have maybe paid a little bit of attention peripherally to this issue, all of a sudden now it's front and center. It's what everybody's talking about, and people who might not have gotten up to speed yet maybe are deciding to do that. Remember, your calls will be screened to keep our subject on information-based questions. Let's stay out of the political stuff. And in future weeks, as Bill mentioned, this will continue to be a topic of conversation on It's Your Business. We'll bring in more experts and more businesses to participate in our roundtable. I want to maybe go back to Abby for a minute. I have here in my notes, Abby, each month that 30 of the businesses you service, you meet with to try to update what they're working on. I mean, how big of an endeavor has this been for you as an insurance provider?
Yeah, so really it's a bi-monthly meeting that we've taken some of our largest clients to help them navigate what they need to do. And obviously it was preparing for 2014, which now is trickling over into 2015 with the delay in some of the large employer responsibilities. It's really to educate them, but also to allow them to bring to the table their questions and concerns so that we can dig through some of those and get answers. And then obviously we try to marry that up with the carriers and let them come to the table and give them answers as well.
How diligent have businesses been in preparing for this?
I would say for the most part, they are very diligent because they want to be in compliance. They're trying so very hard. And I think we're in a landscape that's changing every single day, probably something that's never been quite this changing in history. We see delays. We see new rules. We see the Affordable Care Act changing all areas of business down to the Fair Labor Standards Act and the way that employers need to conduct their business to take care of their employees.
Okay, I'll swing over now to the Avera and Sanford side. A really timely day, I think, to have this conversation. Here we are a day after everything officially kicked off. I'm told that that government website is still maybe not working this morning. I haven't tried to pull it up here on my phone. So at last you checked, right, Becky or Lisa, still no go on it?
That's right. The government website is experiencing, I think, a lot more activity than perhaps they anticipated, which is a good sign. There's a lot of interest in healthcare.gov, but I believe as of this morning, we still were getting the message that to check back later.
How busy were things in your office yesterday? Have you been getting many questions, comments?
We received a lot of calls just kind of asking what was going on with the website and some confusion in terms of whether it was our website or the government website. People, we've just been encouraging them to remember that, you know, open enrollment started yesterday, but they do have 6 months to do that. And so hopefully as the days go on, the website for healthcare.gov will be able to handle the activity.
Okay, maybe swing that over to Lisa. Are you getting some of those same comments and maybe misconceptions from people?
Yes, we are. Our phones have been very busy, and right now we're taking names and addresses and offering to send people packets of information. One important thing to know about healthcare.gov is while that is a government-sponsored website, it does compare insurance plans from a variety of companies. But individuals, if they really want to know the costs and options of plans available January 1, can go directly to sanfordhealthplan.com or any other insurance company's website and see the products and the prices that are being sold both inside of the exchange and outside of the exchange. So they don't have to wait for the healthcare.gov website to go live in order to see pricing and product and benefit information. They can go to sanfordhealthplan.com. The reason that you would want to go to healthcare.gov is to find out if you're eligible for subsidies. And these are ways to help people pay for their monthly premiums to the insurance company and ways for people to reduce their out-of-pocket costs when they're purchasing and using healthcare services. And so you would want to go to healthcare.gov because that information is based on your household income. And really, healthcare.gov is the tool that evaluates individual eligibility for those programs.
And the state of South Dakota also has a website that can guide you, I think, in a couple directions.
South Dakota, I believe, has a hyperlink to healthcare.gov because South Dakota's insurance exchange is a federally facilitated exchange, and so it does default to the federal model and the infrastructure that has been built by the government.
Okay, so it's basically a landing page with a little information and a link to a website that right now isn't working yet.
Right. Yeah, correct. Yeah. But the Division of Insurance website does include a list of the insurance companies that are licensed to sell small group and individual insurance inside the exchange.
Got it. We're going to take a break. Plenty more to talk about. Again, feel free to give us a call. We'll be back in a couple minutes. It's Your Business. Thanks. Welcome back to It's Your Business. I'm Jody Schwan, the editor of the Sioux Falls Business Journal, filling in for your host, Bill Zortman, today. And they decided to start me off with something basic and easy for my first time filling in. So we're going to talk about the Affordable Care Act, actually. No, probably couldn't have gotten more complex. But the whole idea here behind the panel of experts that we brought in today is simplifying this for you as individuals, for you as businesses. Lots of questions continue. We know that about the Affordable Care Act, which officially kicked off the exchanges yesterday. I'm going to try to drill down now and really get at some basics with Abby Vanderwerf from Howalt McDowell. She regularly helps host business summits, but has some good information for individuals too. Okay, Abby, let's say I'm an individual who doesn't have insurance. Now, I'm going to need to have insurance or I'm going to pay a penalty. What should I be doing today?
So I think really when you look at this, you have to understand a couple of basic principles. And, you know, obviously Lisa just talked in our last segment about healthcare.gov, and that's really going to be the vehicle that you're going to want to use if you're going to shop individual insurance. And certainly if you're an individual today that doesn't have coverage and you are not offered coverage through any other type of vehicle, be it an employer-sponsored plan or, as we talked about, Medicare or TRICARE, things like that, you are going to want to jump out onto this website and see what's available, because come January 1, 2014, you're going to be required to have health insurance, or you could potentially be faced with a penalty for not having that in 2014.
Okay, I have until January 1st to try to figure out what I'm going to do. Otherwise, I'm going to start potentially paying a penalty.
Correct. And actually, the open enrollment period for this first exchange on healthcare.gov, so basically the period of time you have to enroll is October 1st, starting yesterday, and they're going to actually leave it open until March 31st of 2014. So you do have some time to get out there and see what's available.
Probably good, because as we mentioned in the first segment, the website, again today, does not appear to be working. But once they are able to go out and look, how does the pricing work? I mean, what can I expect to pay, and what are my options if I really don't think I can financially swing this?
So really what they're going to do is offer you several different plans, and it's really kind of based on the plan's value. They've created what they call metallic tiers, but in more simple terms, it's going to be how much a plan pays out. So there is bronze, silver, gold, and platinum plans, and then there will also be some catastrophic plans available to certain individuals on the exchange. And so when you're out there shopping, they're going to ask you some questions. What is your household income being one of the criteria, so that they can actually help you determine if you will be eligible to receive some government funding for your health insurance premiums.
Okay, and if this all seems just a little overwhelming, maybe I'm not familiar with insurance, maybe I'm just not comfortable with a computer, there are options here locally to help you get through this.
Yes, South Dakota actually has a navigator program that you can call and speak to someone who can help walk you through the online portal, or they can assist you in person. You can also still use an agent, as you have in the past, if you have a trusted agent source that you want to go to help you navigate these options.
Or you can reach out and develop that relationship with
the
local insurer.
Correct.
Okay. Let's bring in Becky now from the Avera Health Plan, because we want to talk some misconceptions, and part of this has to get at Medicare, Medicaid, traditionally a source of assistance with health coverage. Is anything changed with that? If I'm on Medicare, Medicaid, does that stay the same?
You're correct, Jody. The Affordable Care Act does not impact the Medicare or Medicaid program. So I think that has been a misconception and some concern for seniors in terms of all the information going on about healthcare and all the changes, and the message out from all of us is that nothing is changing for their plans. They do not need to do anything. It does not impact Medicare.
Okay, well, and fair enough. I mean, it's not like Medicare has stayed the same in recent years, right? Seniors
True.
Have had to respond
True.
To other changes. So understandable that perhaps they would wonder what the impact is today. Let's go over to Lisa. Lisa, you know, I'm curious about Sanford, the organization. You deal with the Sanford Health Plan, but Sanford's the largest employer in our metro area. Can you give me a sense of what it's been like as an employer to have to deal with this?
Yes, as one of the largest employers in both North Dakota and South Dakota, Sanford Health Plan took the large employer payer play mandate very seriously, and we engaged on with creating a committee of individuals that included human resource individuals and financial individuals to make sure that, number one, everyone understood the new law from a compliance standpoint, and then really putting together a path of how to move forward to both be compliant, to make sure that we are offering health insurance benefits that are both affordable and meets what the government calls the minimum essential coverage standards. And so evaluating people's pay ranges, how much they pay for their portion of the health premium, how much their employer pays for their portion of the health premium, and maybe tinkering with some of those levels in order to make coverage affordable for almost all employees, as many as possible, in order to comply with the Affordable Care Act. And so as a large employer, while we have a little more time to breathe, because that has been delayed until January 1 of 2015, we really didn't put that off too far, because we still have to write policies and procedures and have plenty, allow ourselves plenty of time to train our employees, which ones who will be eligible for insurance that have maybe never been eligible for insurance before starting in 2015. These are people who maybe work less than part-time. Mm-hmm. And would be eligible for health insurance benefits that they may not have been before this law goes into effect.
Is there a standard out there for what is affordable coverage, or is it more of an art than a science trying to figure out what that is?
Well, I think what was once a very subjective term of what's affordable, of course, if you surveyed anyone off the street, they would probably say, of course, my health care, my insurance is not affordable, even though most employers pay 50, 60, 70, 80, 90% of the premium.
And I think most employees, in fairness, have no idea how much their coverage actually costs, because employers are absorbing so much of it.
I agree. Our employers do insulate their employees a lot from the true cost of healthcare benefits. And so moving forward, I think there's going to be more transparency as employers have started reporting their cost of the premium on W-2s. And so some employees maybe have noticed that this past year and will continue to notice that moving forward. And so that kind of removes that layer, I think, of misunderstanding of how much I actually pay for health insurance. But the government did actually create a formula of what is affordable.
Okay.
And so the penalty for large employers with over 50 employees is based on if that employer is contributing enough to the single premium of their employees. So just to clarify, that's different from the family premium. And some employers offer single plus spouse or single plus children. So the government has really outlined a very specific formula that insurance companies have worked with employers to understand. And then the employers go back with their payroll to figure out, am I compliant with this formula or not?
Okay. Speaking of employers, let's bring in Marvin Smoot of Plastic Surgery Associates. Curious, Marvin, what kind of message have you had for your employees about these changes?
Well, we've just been primarily going with the compliance issue, making sure that we supply the notice of exchanges and things like that that are government mandated, but not necessarily mandated. It's pretty funny. What I'm getting a lot now is questions from a lot of my staff about what's best maybe for their spouses. A lot of talk has come out of UPS kicking 16,000 spouses off their insurance dolls because they're not considered dependents anymore, because there's been a definition of dependents that has changed recently. And so we supply 100% actually of the insurance premium per month for our full-time staff.
Wow.
But they do kick in for their spouses or family if they're on that plan. So it really, you talk about insulating staff. We have insulated our staff significantly from the cost of health care. And it has helped us as a small business remain competitive to try to attract the best and the brightest. And for a small business, that is really our biggest concern, because the fines, the employer mandate doesn't really impact us. We're under 50 FTEs or full-time equivalents. We our eligible employee number is so low that we're insulated from a lot of the rules and fines and different things like that. But it exposes us to the inability to attract good people if we do not supply healthcare coverage. So that's been part of our biggest decision.
Everybody's issues are a bit different, I think. Stay with us. We're going to take a break now. When we come back, more on the Affordable Care Act. It's Your Business. Welcome back to It's Your Business. I'm Jody Schwan, the editor of the Sioux Falls Business Journal, filling in for your host, Bill Zortman. He's on vacation today. We're here talking the Affordable Care Act all hour. We're going to do this, I believe, every Wednesday in October. And there is plenty to talk about. You are free to ask us your questions. Give us a call, 336-1320, looking for information-based questions. Let's stay out of the politics here, please. We do have a question from Russ. Russ, are you there?
Yes, I am.
What's your question for us?
Hey, I am currently 28 years old. I receive health care from the VA. I work for a full-time employer. I work 40-plus hours a week year-round. And I know there's been an employer hold. My question is, should I enroll in the exchanges just to prevent getting penalties at the first of the year, or should I wait on my employer and keep my VA? I'm kind of stuck here in the middle with not knowing where to go.
All right. Lisa Carlson of the Sanford Health Plan, can you tackle that?
Sure. So, Russ, do you get your health benefits now through the VA or through your employer?
Through the VA.
Through the VA. So, really, your health benefits through the VA do qualify as essential coverage. So, you should not be subject to the penalties. You actually have adequate health insurance. Now, you may be eligible for subsidies based on your household income. So, it might be worth it to you to go out to healthcare.gov and enter your information, set up your account. And I liken setting up an account on healthcare.gov like setting up an Amazon account. It's really very non-commitment required. So you can give in all your information, but you don't have to actually accept anything until you hit that, purchase button, basically. So you can set it all up, and they will basically evaluate what subsidies you might be eligible for. And then really it's some simple math of what's financially the best option for you. Because if you are eligible for subsidies and you don't have access to other employer-sponsored health coverage, which without knowing the details of your employer, I know that you work full-time, obviously. But you might want to also then go to your employer's open enrollment period and compare, you know, how much it would it cost to get through your employer versus the exchange versus how you're getting health care today through the VA. So you really are in a unique situation having that many options and that much flexibility with your benefits. But the benefits you have today is just important to know is that you would not be subject to the penalty.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Russ. I'm going to go back to Abby Vanderworth now with Howalt McDowell, and I want to talk a little bit about going shopping. Abby, who can go shopping for health insurance now? Can I as an individual, or how about small businesses? Are you seeing a lot of that?
Yeah, I mean, certainly anybody as an individual can go shopping right now, and I'm sure there will be a lot of people out there checking it out to see what it means to them. Small businesses, actually, we just found out this week, can't shop online until November 1st. And I think a lot of small businesses have really been anxiously awaiting October 1st to see what's going to be available to them. What we've really, you know, small businesses are the majority of businesses in South Dakota, and they don't have a dedicated benefits or HR person. So they're looking for people to help guide them through this. And what's the best decision for them? I think you've probably heard, or maybe small businesses have heard a lot about, should I change my plan year to December 1st of 2013 to buy me 11 more months at my current plan, because we know that there's specific criteria and plan design requirements that people are going to have to comply with and groups are going to have to comply with come January 1, 2014. So we've worked with a lot of small employers to determine whether or not that's the best fit for them. I think you've also probably heard a lot about, or we've talked a lot about 29ers and 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is, how do I keep my business under 50 full-time equivalents, the 49er rule,
right,
so that I don't have to comply with the large employer rules?
Fewer than 50 means I'm a small business. More than 50 means I'm a large employer?
Correct.
And are they finding ways to do that? Are they? Do you see businesses that might be at 51, 52 people that are saying, hey, maybe I can do this with 49 or 48?
Certainly. they're definitely looking at their staffing needs and how they can continue to operate, what the cost impact is going to be to them to go to that large mark versus being small.
We talked earlier about for individuals, there are so-called navigators out there who can help them through this process. Do the small businesses have navigators? Who's out there to help them?
Certainly the small businesses could reach out to the navigators, but they're going to be more versed in the individual market. Small businesses are still using their agents, their brokers, the people that they work through today to help them navigate through these changes.
They likely already have those relationships with insurers.
Correct.
Just reaching out to them and trying to navigate, if you will, through these changes, right?
Yeah. And then I think the other piece when I bring up the 29ers is, okay, so we know that the definitions have kind of changed the rules a little bit. So 30-hour employees are now technically considered full-time for some purposes of the law. So how can I keep my part-time employees under that? How can I keep them at 29 hours? Is that feasible or is that a consideration I need to take into account when I'm designing my benefits eligibility and my staffing?
Okay. I will come back to you on this question too, because I'm guessing you have some things to say, but I want to move over to Becky and Lisa respectively with Avera and Sanford. I feel like a huge philosophical piece of all of this is insuring younger people who are, in theory, healthier, who have not been insured before. And another piece is keeping people well and preventative care. Do you have a message to your employee base? You're both large employers. Are you trying to focus more on the preventative care and raising awareness of that and health and wellness? I feel like everything's trending in that direction anyway.
Right. That's exactly right. We really are looking at ways to keep or help employers keep their employees healthy as one of the ways to look at the healthcare costs and really to drive at having the message of prevention and care be part of their benefit plan. Part of the Affordable Care Act requires preventive services being covered at no charge. So we're really encouraging employers through whether that be their open enrollment meetings or other reach outs to their employees to make sure the employees are aware of the benefits that they do have.
Okay, looks like we have a question. I believe it's from David. Is that right? David, are you there?
That is correct.
What question do you have for us this morning?
Yeah, I've heard talk about if you do like a defined, if the employer does a defined contribution, so let's say the employer says $600, we're going to give the employee $600 to be used towards their health insurance. Does that, if they're a large employer, does that qualify? Does that get you out of the providing affordable coverage, or does that in any way? How does that actually work with that?
Abby, what do you think?
Actually, I think there are several elements that go into this question. Certainly, defined contribution is something that you're going to see more and more prevalency because employers will be able to control those costs more than they can control a percentage base to the premium. Now, if you're asking if you can just give employees a defined dollar amount to go buy individual policies, this will not help you escape the penalties that are associated with being a large employer. If you have a group health plan and you're just giving a defined contribution through, you know, obviously premium contribution, this will still be an acceptable method as we go into 2014.
Any other questions, David? Okay.
No, that was it.
Okay, great. What do you think, any other misconceptions, maybe the most common misconception out there that you might like to address this morning?
I think that one of the misconceptions that I think we've definitely run into in the individual and employer group market is that individuals who have access to insurance through their employer can go to the exchange and qualify for subsidies. And so one of the underpinnings of the Affordable Care Act was not to destroy employer-sponsored group coverage. The government, in fact, recognizes that as a valuable benefit of employers in the United States, and they didn't want to encourage or configure an arrangement that would encourage employees to drop off their employer-sponsored group coverage or worse, have employers just dissolve their employer-sponsored group coverage. And so they really built in some fight what I would call firewalls to prevent people from or discourage people from leaving their employer-sponsored group coverage and going to the exchange. And one of those firewalls is that, again, if your employer is contributing a certain percentage to your single-only premium, that then you are not eligible for subsidies on the exchange, because that would be like double-dipping. You can't get both an employer contribution and federal subsidies. You get one or the other. So if you're not eligible for employer-sponsored coverage, for example, you work less than part-time, or you're not eligible for, your spouses may not be eligible, or your children may not be eligible for coverage because that's how your employer designed it, then certainly you could go to the exchange. But if you have access to and you're eligible for coverage and your employer's paying a portion of that, according to this formula, which is the 9.5%, and making sure that you're not paying more than 9.5% of your salary from that one employer to purchase the single-only coverage, then you are not eligible for subsidies on the exchange. So, again, just clarifying that if your employer's paying a portion of the premium, it's very unlikely that you will be eligible for subsidies on the exchange. And again, the formula and understanding that, I would recommend working with an insurance agent because they're going to help walk you through that, or again, healthcare.gov, where you do have to enter last year's tax information. So you can't be shy about disclosing your social security number and income, because the purpose of the healthcare.gov site is that the IRS is now a very big player in contributing the data that they're using to validate who's eligible for subsidies and who's not.
Point being, you're likely not going to get financial assistance from both your employer for healthcare and the federal government for healthcare.
You definitely are not, correct.
Okay. How about if we take a break now, coming up on a quarter till the hour? We'll be back on It's Your Business, taking your questions on the Affordable Care Act. If you've got them, give us a call, 336-1320. Welcome back to It's Your Business. I'm Jody Schwann, editor of the Sioux Falls Business Journal, filling in for Bill Zortman. Bill's taking a nice, well-deserved vacation this week. So, meanwhile, I get to sit in, talk about the Affordable Care Act, which we've been doing all hour. Plenty of questions to keep the conversation rolling. We have another one on the phone now. Jeannie has a question. Jeannie, can you hear me?
Hi, Jody. Yes, I can. My question is, I'm retired. I have health insurance through a private carrier. Do I need to do anything at all as far as the government is concerned to verify I have insurance, or what do I need to do?
Okay, Becky Olson from Avera, she's going to help you out here.
Hi, Jeannie. Is your coverage right now through a previous employer?
No, it's not.
Nope, it's not. All right, so what you would probably want to do, Jeannie, is just to check your options in terms of if you qualify for any type of subsidy through healthcare.gov.
No, I don't want any of that.
And that's fine. You would just want to make sure that your coverage is qualified coverage. So is it through a carrier?
Yes.
Okay. So it sounds like you have coverage in place. And if you're not interested in checking out any other options available to you, then I think then there's nothing you need to do.
Okay. So when I file my income tax in January, February, whatever, then I will just provide verification that I have insurance. Is that what I would do?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. You guys are very informative. I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling, Jeannie. We're going to go over to It's Your Business regular Marvin Smoot now. Of course, there are so many, many issues that play into the Affordable Care Act and health coverage and what businesses might or might not need to be doing. And one of these issues is smokers, coverage for smokers. And this is something, Marvin, that's been addressed by your folks over at Plastic Surgery Associates.
Well, absolutely. We look at the wellness component of our plans as something that's very important to us. As one, as a group, we see in how we treat our Medicare patients, one of the things that we have to do is talk about smoking cessation. It's smoking cessation is a big component in the the communication with our patients. We want to make sure that we're talking to them about the best health options that we have, and that really bleeds over well with the conversations that we have with our staff. Fortunately, we don't have any smokers on staff, and that does help. That does help us. It helps maintain low benefits. We also are, from an age rating standpoint, we have a very well age rated staff as well, meaning that we have a good mix of young and old folks that helps keep our premiums as low as possible. That's not something that we can always control, but when we look at the wellness aspect, and we, as a physician clinic, we preach wellness. We look at what's the best healthcare options for our patients, and we have that carry through to our staff as well. And it's something we discuss with them, and it's something that we discuss with our insurance carrier as well, and in our agent.
Abby, how big of a deal is it, this coverage of smokers? How does that impact your rates if you do have smokers?
Smokers can pay up to a 50% differential on their premium, so it is a big deal.
Wow, clearly sending a message that this is a risk factor.
Exactly.
Okay. Wellness, of course, is something that you work with all the time at Holt McDonald. You've done that in new ways, too, I know, through health coaching and things like that. What kind of message do you try to give businesses in terms of how they should be emphasizing this?
You know, wellness actually carries over to all areas of business, whether it be work comp or it just be the presenteeism, absenteeism scenario. So employers are really engaged in wellness right now because they want not only what's best for their employees, but they want them to be highly functional when they're at work. So you're going to continue to see a drive for wellness programs, and certainly we have a lot of employers asking about them.
We have time for one question before we got to take a break. I want to bring in, is it Ellen? Ellen, is that right? Who has a...
Yes, good morning.
You have a question on navigators?
I do. I was wondering where we find the navigators for South Dakota.
The navigators for South Dakota, since healthcare.gov site is down right now, I would direct you to the South Dakota Division of Insurance website. Okay. And they do have a list of the licensed navigators. And also, every insurance company is maintaining a list of agents that are also certified to sell on the insurance exchange and provide advice on the insurance exchange. So you could go to either a navigator site, or you could find an agent who has been certified on the insurance exchange.
Okay, thank you very much.
And Ellen, I'm going to put in a plug for my employer, Argus Leader Media. Look in today's paper. There's a great story in there about how the first day of the exchanges went, and there are scheduled sessions coming up. I believe there's some at the library. So I think there are going to be multiple opportunities for outreach. And I think you should be able to find some information in the paper today about where you might be able to go to access those navigators and that extra information. Hey, I'm hosting the show. I can plug the paper, right? That's okay. Stay with us. When we come back, we're going to wrap the show up again more on the Affordable Care Act. Great panel of experts here this hour. If you have questions, and we appreciate the ones that have come in so far, give us a call, 336-1320. Welcome back to It's Your Business. I'm Jody Schwann, the editor of the Sioux Falls Business Journal. I'm filling in for your vacationing host, Bill Zortment, and learning more this morning about the Affordable Care Act, a topic of conversation probably all over the country. We're fortunate to have a panel of local experts in the studio today, ready and willing to take your questions. They've done a great job, I think, so far. If you have questions, give us a call, 336-1320. I had one question come in on a Post-it note. That's always fun over the break. Someone who has a supplement to insurance, I believe it was TRICARE, that they say they don't like, and they want to know if there might be another answer, another option through the Affordable Care Act. And Lisa Carlson at Sanford is nice enough to tackle that one for me.
Yeah, without knowing too much specifics on that, there might be an option. And again, shopping does no harm. So if you want to go to healthcare.gov, I would recommend that. It really, again, comes down to the dollars and cents. Because, again, you're paying for anything purchased through the Affordable Care Act as an individual policy on your own, out of your own pocket. So making sure that you're not paying for duplicative coverage is what I would caution. With TRICARE or other short-term policies, they are just that. They, you know, supplement and fill in just a couple gaps. But when you go and purchase an individual policy on the insurance exchange or outside of the exchange, you're buying a very comprehensive policy that covers almost everything you're going to need it to cover. And therefore, you're paying for that coverage as well. So again, making sure that you're not over-insuring yourself, which I know sounds strange, and paying too much for more coverage than you need.
Sure. We've got just a couple minutes left here, maybe for some final thoughts. Any parting messages, anything that you in the next week or so are going to be paying attention to in your universe?
I think we will continue to monitor the healthcare.gov website. Also encourage people to go to Avera Health Plan's website as well. And we have a dedicated phone number, 1-855-MY-AVERA, for people to call in with any questions. We're continuing to encourage people to work with their agent if they have an established relationship or want to establish one, as well as talking with their employers. It's important for them to understand what coverage options they do have. Many employees have been receiving notices from employers in the last week or so. So, we want to encourage them to talk with their employers as well. And we're excited about the new plan offerings that we have to offer and to have coverage for those that are currently covered as well as those who haven't had coverage in South Dakota.
I don't think you'll be bored at any rate.
I don't think
that's
so.
For sure. Okay. Abby, how about you?
I just want to say that there are so many different perspectives out there on this law, and you're going to hear things in the media as we have in the past, and some are going to be wrong. Some are misleading. I think I just want to remind everyone to use a trusted source for your information because there are so many misperceptions surrounding this law. I mean, we get email forwards. We get questions of news ads running, respected papers that are sometimes a little bit misleading. So certainly make sure you're asking the questions. And then on top of all of that, when you have something this big affecting the entire nation, that always makes way for people who are scammers. And I think the thing is that this is something that you can drive as an individual. You're going to the marketplace if you want to check it out. If you have people coming to your door, sending you mailers, calling you on the phone for anything other than advertisements, you do not want to release your personal information unless it's someone that you contacted as a navigator or certainly went out to healthcare.gov.
Good advice. Lots of potential risks out there for people. And real quick, Marvin, how about you?
Well, really for us from the small business standpoint, we are in that renewal period right now. So we're actually taking and looking at all the bids from Sanford, Avera, from people within that are offering plans within the exchange, from groups that are offering plans but from outside the exchange, and looking at the fees available with both options. But we're also looking at from a physician standpoint, we're looking from a clinic standpoint, how these new insurances are going to be reimbursed, how it's going to be changing the way that we are able to interact with these insurance plans. So for us, it's multifaceted, but we're looking forward to the challenge.
Lisa, any final thoughts?
Yeah, one last statement just to clarify that the fact that healthcare.gov is not working has nothing to do with the shutdown. Or it does not reflect the fact that, or to be misconstrued that the Affordable Care Act is not moving forward, because it is. So they're two unrelated events. So just because healthcare.gov does not work today doesn't mean it's not working because of the government shutdown. It will eventually be up and running. But again, in the meantime, you can find information on plans available at sanfordhealthplan.com and also call 333-1089 and ask for information to be sent to you.
Could we have any more going on at once? Could we have any more risk for misperception? Probably not. The good part is we've had some great information, really factual-based this morning. I want to thank all of our guests representing Plastic Surgery Associates, Ho-Alt McDowell, Avera Health Plan, Sanford's Health Plan. Stay with us every Wednesday in October. We are going to have more on this Affordable Care Act as it develops. I'm sure there will be more questions. We'll have more experts. We'll have businesses brought into the roundtable. I want to thank you for being with us this morning on It's Your Business. Again, I'm Jody Schwan, the editor of the Sioux Falls Business Journal.